Hare Krishna. So, unfortunately, our dancer didn't show up. But fortunately for us, we do have the association of Dravida Das, who's a senior disciple of Srila Prabhupada. He's a senior editor at the BBT, the book publishing division. And we'd like to thank him for coming to speak at the last moment. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I thought we did that already. Hare Krishna. So thank you very much for coming tonight to our weekly feast and festival. Tonight we can read from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, as usual, by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And we can read from the 15th chapter. Where Krishna is speaking about Himself as Purushottam, the Supreme Person. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this is text 15. Many of you may know this verse. You can chant in response. Sarvasya chaham vidisan nivishto. Let's try again. Sarvasya chaham vidisan nivishto. Mattak smatir jnanam apohanancha. Vedaischa sarvair ahameva vedyo. Vedanta kridn veda videva chaham. Translation. Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, says, I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas, I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta, and I am the knower of the Vedas. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The Supreme Lord is situated as Paramatma, or Supersoul, in everyone's heart, and it is from Him that all activities are initiated. The living entity forgets everything of his past life, but he has to act according to the direction of the Supreme Lord, who is witness to all his work. Therefore, he begins his work according to his past deeds. Required knowledge is supplied to him, and remembrance is given to him, and he forgets also about his past life. Thus, the Lord is not only all-pervading, he is also localized in every individual heart. He awards the different fruitive results. He is worshipable not only as the impersonal Brahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the localized Paramatma, but as the form of the incarnation of the Vedas as well. The Vedas give the right direction to people so that they can properly mold their lives and come back to Godhead, back to home. The Vedas offer knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and Krishna in his incarnation as Vyasadeva is the compiler of the Vedanta Sutra. The commentation on the Vedanta Sutra by Vyasadeva in the Srimad Bhagavatam gives the real understanding of Vedanta Sutra. The Supreme Lord is so full that for the deliverance of the conditioned soul, he is the supplier and digester of foodstuff, the witness of his activity, and the giver of knowledge in the form of the Vedas and as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, the teacher of the Bhagavad Gita. He is worshipable by the conditioned soul, thus God is all good, God is merciful. Om Vijnanatim Randasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chukshu Unmilatam Mena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him. So, this verse is very important for understanding our position in the material world, and our relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna first says, Sarvasya Chaham Vridhi Sannivishto. He's saying that I'm within everyone's heart as Super Soul. We understand from the Vedic literature that Krishna is without and within. He is very great. He is greater than the greatest, and he is smaller than the smallest. This is explained further in the Sri Brahma Samhita, where Lord Brahma describes Ekopasaudachayatum jagadanda kotin yak chakterasti jagadandaichayayaranta vandantarasta padamana chayantarastam govindamari purushantamaham vijani. He describes how the one, Ekopasaudachayatum jagadanda kotin, the one being here, Mahavishnu, he expands his energy, and from him all the universes, not just one universe, but many universes are emanating. This is the Mahavishnu, the grand, inconceivably majestic conception of the Lord as the source of all that exists. And then he says, and he expands so that he's also within every atom of the universe. So he's simultaneously without and within by the expansion of his energies. So here Krishna is saying, I'm within the heart of all as the Super Soul. And from me are coming remembrance, are coming knowledge, and also forgetfulness. We have to close the door or quiet the drumming externally. Thank you. So, mattak smitir gyanam apohanangsha. So from me are coming remembrance. Now, why do we need remembrance? Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport. We as spirit souls are on a cycle from one body to the next. This body that we're in now, which is also always changing, as we know from experience, will one day cease to exist. But we as the soul continue on. So what is it that determines what situation we have in our next life, what body we get in our next life, and what happens to us in the next life, and how we go in our complex sojourn in this world? Well, this is all overseen by God in the form of the Super Soul or Paramatma. He says in the 13th chapter of this book, Bhagavad Gita, Ubadrashta anumanta cha bhakta bhakta maheshura. I, as the Super Soul, am the overseer and permitter or sanctioner of activities. So we have a tremendously complex reservoir of what we call karma or previous activities, which leave a residue which we experience in this life. And as we act in this life, we're determining our next life. Well, who is overseeing all this? Just like if you have a government and you commit some act, say an illegal act. So it's only illegal because there's a law defined. And there's only a punishment because there's a judge and there's a policeman and there's an executive. So someone has to see you doing it and someone has to judge how severe it is and what the punishment is. Conversely, there you may perform some good act. Well, what makes it good? It's good because someone sees, oh, you're helping other people, you're doing good works, therefore you get some benefit. Therefore you are exalted in society and so forth. So the same thing holds true for the larger government of this universe, of this world. There is an overseer, there are laws, there are executives, and there is a result for everything we do. So the main overseer and law enforcer is the Supreme Lord himself in the form of the Super Soul. So he's reminding us, oh, go here, do this. This is what you wanted to do in the previous life. Why is it that when we grow up, don't we all find ourselves drawn to one kind of activity and not to another? Some are musically inclined, Bhaja Govinda Prabhu, excellent musician, as we know. Some others, right, maybe in his own family or his own village nearby who were born, can't hold a tune, can't keep the beat. They don't have that musical facility. But they have some other facility that they're good at. So we each have we say, oh, it's the genes, it's and so forth. But the chromosomes, the DNA, the genes, are simply a record of your karma. You see? It's not determining it. It is something that is arranged by the Lord through the material energy to help you fulfill your propensity and your karma. So this smitir, this remembrance is coming from Krishna. You see, and he's reminding us what to do. Mata frami smitti jnanam apohanamcha. So knowledge is coming, and also forgetfulness. If we didn't forget, we couldn't exist in this world. Accepting for a moment, as I'm confident many of us do, that we do have previous lives, well, we all went through some heavy experiences in our previous lives. We got sick, we died, we may have got killed, we may have done this and that. We need to forget that in order to start a new life and to have a clean slate and to be able to live in this world. Otherwise, we'd all be walking mental patients suffering huge post-traumatic stress syndrome, isn't it? Tremendous stress and trauma in this world goes on, but we forget it. Even in this life, we have mechanisms to forget, block out, right, so that we can go on. So that forgetfulness is also a blessing of the Lord in many ways. So how does that work on a transcendental level, on the level of Krishna consciousness? Well, when it's described in the Upanishads and in the Srimad Bhagavatam that each living entity, we're on like a tree. Imagine the body is kind of like a tree. And in that body is the soul and the super soul, side by side in the heart, described. Just like two birds in a tree. Now, one of the birds, namely us, as the individual soul, is trying to enjoy the fruits of this tree. Namely, the pleasures that come from the contact of the senses with the sense objects. That's called the fruit of the tree. And we try throughout one life and the next life, every life we do. We're trying. And we're frustrated. Eventually, the pleasure turns to pain. The body becomes unable to enjoy. And we're frustrated. We go on to another life and try again. Now, accompanying us is this other bird, the super soul, who is observing this. He's not taking part. The super soul is watching and waiting for the individual bird to turn to him, his real friend, where he can learn how to truly enjoy eternally, not through the senses, but through the loving exchange between the individual soul and the supreme soul. So, in this case, when we come in contact with the transcendental knowledge transmitted by the Lord through what we call the parampara, or the cyclic succession, and through shastra, scriptures such as Bhagavad Gita, we can begin to regain our real remembrance. Because deep down below all of our material memories and things repressed and suppressed and subconscious is the original memory of our experience in the spiritual world or kingdom of God. And it is that memory which can also be given to us by the super soul internally and externally. It is said that the Lord appears externally as the spiritual master and the shastra in order to give us the same instruction that we can't hear from within by the super soul, because we're too covered, we're too absorbed in the externals to go deep within and hear the voice of the super soul. So that very same remembrance, transcendental remembrance, is coming through the knowledge given by such great acharyas as Srila Prabhupada and the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna here is speaking to Arjuna, reminding him of his real duty. And through the medium of Arjuna and through the medium of Bhagavad Gita, he's also reminding all of us. So then he says, Vedaischa sarva ahameva veja, that I am the knower of the Vedas. Now, what are the Vedas? The word Veda means knowledge. And the original knower of the Vedas in the material world is Brahma, Lord Brahma. He's known as Vidhi, the knower of the regulations of the Vedas. So how did he learn the Vedas? When he appeared, you know the history, he appeared on the lotus flower growing from Garbhadakshay Vishnu. There was no one around to learn from. And he was very intelligent, four heads. He's thinking, what should he think? Where did I come from? This is the original question we should all ask. Where did I come from? What's the meaning of my existence? You see? What should I do? He couldn't figure it out. He tried to figure it out on his own. Very significant. He went down the lotus stem, this big lotus growing from the navel of Garbhadakshay Vishnu. And he couldn't find Garbhadakshay Vishnu because he was trying in the wrong way by his own investigative powers. So he went back on that lotus and he started just meditating. And he heard two syllables. Who knows what they are? Tapa. Thank you. Tapa, which means penance, austerity. In those two syllables, he understood he had to continue his meditation and revelation would come. And he did that for many, many thousands of years. And then Krishna appeared to him, and he revealed through his heart the vast expanse of the truth. It's explained that he became well acquainted with the ocean of truth, and he sang the Brahma Samhita. Govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord. And then he described how he's in the spiritual world with the gopis and the cows, and he's playing his flute, and how he's emanating Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Chiradakshaya Vishnu, the position of Shiva, the position of Durga, and Brahma himself, and everything is there in the Brahma Samhita in summary. All became revealed to him. And from that, and revealed in his heart, he had the full Vedic knowledge. And he passed it on to his descendants. Shishi Rukmini Dwakadish Kisha, Shishi Gonatai Ki Jai, Jagannath Baladev Subhadraji Ki Jai. So, this original knowledge is coming from Krishna. And therefore, he says, I am the knower of the Vedas, the original knower of the Vedas. And eventually, as Vyasadev, an incarnation of Krishna, he wrote it down. Originally, it was just spoken. Just imagine being so keen of mind, such a clear intelligence, that whatever, when you heard something, you never forgot it. How many things have we heard in this life that have just gone in one ear and out the other? If we want to memorize something, we have to go over and over and over because the mind is flickering. But in days gone by, they were so concentrated, so one-pointed, and so clear that they would hear the Vedic knowledge and it would become theirs. They'd have it and pass it on, unchanged, to their disciples. But at the beginning of this Kali Yuga, Vyasadeva saw that this wasn't going to work. The Kali Yugites are too disturbed. They don't live long enough. They have so many disturbances. We need to write it down. And so he divided it. This is what Vyasa means. He divided it into these four Vedas. The Samaveda, Atharvaveda, Rigveda, and Yajurveda have different functions, and gave it to each of his disciples, different disciples, and they became the repositories of the knowledge, as written down. But the original knower is Krishna, and therefore, he can give us the real purpose of the Vedas. What is the meaning of all this knowledge? What's the goal of it? Is it just knowledge for knowledge's sake? Is it knowledge, like we have so much technical knowledge, how we can manipulate this world to better enjoy sense gratification? There's huge libraries you can go to. Technical knowledge, you see. What is the purpose of the knowledge? So Krishna is saying, Vedanta Krit, Veda Vid Eva Chaham. I am the compiler of the Vedanta in the form of Vyasadeva, and I am the goal of all of this knowledge. That's why Srila Prabhupada's name is so significant. Bhakti Vedanta. They gave Srila Prabhupada this name, Bhakti Vedanta, when he was writing so much, in the early days. He was publishing articles in a magazine, Harmonist Magazine, and beginning to write his books. Bhakti Vedanta means knowing that the end of all knowledge is bhakti, is loving devotion to the Lord. Doesn't Krishna say in chapter 7? Bahunam janmanamante gyanavan man prapadyate vasudeva savamiti samahatma sudurlabha. After many, many births, unlimited births we can have, many, many births of cultivating knowledge, one who is truly gyanavan, possessed of knowledge, surrenders unto me. Vasudev, Krishna, understanding that I'm everything. As we described, through his expansions and through his energies, there's no place where there isn't Krishna. We've forgotten it. But that's actually the fact. So therefore, he surrenders to Krishna's will, and through that comes expansion of knowledge. The more that we're hooked up to the Lord through service, in the form of remembrance and in the form of obeisances, doing his work, all the things that bhakti entails, the more we become enlightened in the heart. This is the meaning of this verse. So this is very important. If we want to truly realize the purpose of our life, it means we have to acquire real knowledge and understand where that knowledge leads. Knowledge leads somewhere. It's not just for the sake of knowledge for the sake of knowing. It's not simply knowledge for the sake of manipulating this world. It's not simply a parlor game of like spinning out unlimited theories. It might be this way, it might be that way. Knowledge is meant to lead to the goal of knowledge, and that goal of knowledge is ultimately Krishna himself, as he explains very clearly in this chapter and throughout the Bhagavad Gita. And when we engage in the beginning of the 13th chapter, we find a whole description of knowledge. And it's very interesting because it's not just, well, okay, knowledge seems, you know, we have this conception of knowledge being so many facts, so many abilities, so many ways to train ourselves to do certain things. But in the 13th chapter, there is a prerequisite to knowledge having to do with our character. Amanit vam, adambit vam, ahimsa, chantirajavam, atayopasanam shausham, stayamatna vinigraha. There are like 20 elements of knowledge, beginning with humility. Amanit vam, adambit vam. Lack of pride, lack of hypocrisy or deceit. Why do we need that humility? Because generally in any age, in any generation, we have a certain preconception of what the truth is. We inherit it from our parents, from our teachers, from our leaders here and there, and we put together a philosophy and we think, oh, this is the truth, and that's how we act. But that kind of hodgepodge means of getting knowledge will not lead us anywhere. Because we're, number one, we're getting the knowledge from imperfect souls, and number two, we ourselves are imperfect, and we're putting together a philosophy that is based so much on sentiment, on misconception, and so forth. So we need to approach that personality who is giving the knowledge as it is, who is a pure vaya medium, who isn't distorting it. You remember I explained how the knowledge first came down from Brahma to Narada, from Narada to Vyas. Well, simply by hearing and transmitting. But now we can't do that. We need books, but we also need teachers who embody the knowledge. And that's the lesson of this chapter 13. To really get knowledge, we have to be humble about our own ignorance. Isn't this Arjuna's teaching at the beginning? You remember he's arguing with Krishna. He says, I know the Vedas. The Vedas say if I engage in this war, I'm going to kill all the men. The women will be unprotected. There'll be Varnasankara, unwanted population. There'll be confusion in society. Why do I need this? I don't care about the kingdom. I'm going to the forest. He had an argument based on the Vedas. And Krishna says, no, you shouldn't get up, Arjuna. Be a Kshatriya. This kind of activity doesn't lead to the heavenly planets, but to infamy. He was arguing on the basis of Kshatriya. Man to man. Don't be a eunuch. Get up. You know? Didn't work. I said, well, I'm going to attack Drona. He's my teacher. Bhishma, the great-grandfather. He was putting the argument together on his own. See? On his sentiment. His heart was speaking. And he was spinning out a philosophical argument based on what he felt, which was that, oh, I don't want to kill my friends. You see? That was insufficient. Finally, he came to the key position. It's the key word, tvam papannam. He said, now, due to miserly weakness and confusion, I am dharma samudacheta. My consciousness, my mind, is confused about real dharma. How I should act in this world for my best benefit and for everyone's best benefit. So therefore, yakshreyaksyan, you tell me, Krishna, definitely, conclusively, how I can get shreya, mean my own welfare and the welfare of everyone. I am your shishya. I am your disciple now, not your friend. I am your disciple. I surrender to you. And then Krishna began speaking as a guru, not as a friend. So we have to find that person who can take that same role, who we can say, okay, you speak to me now, give me the knowledge as it is, and I'll accept it. I'm not going to listen to my mind anymore. My mind is a bad guru. Now I'm finding a better guru, a better teacher. That's what we need. And so the original guru is Krishna. If we accept what he says here, and we accept what the pure follower of Krishna says, as Srila Prabhupada, then we've actually opened up that channel to real knowledge. And we can begin to act for our best benefit. So the simple lesson that Krishna is teaching here is that we need to get in touch with that source of knowledge within the heart. We can't do it directly right now because we're too covered over. And so we have to get it through the pure vibration coming from the great souls like Srila Prabhupada and his pure followers and from the books themselves and this pure sound vibration. And the lesson is simple. It says, think of me, manmana bhavaman bhakto manjadi mam namaskuru. Think of me, become my devotee, offer your homage to me, says Krishna, and offer your worship to me. Surely you will come to me. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. So all of this chapter, the yoga of the Supreme Person, Krishna is identifying himself as that super soul within the heart of all of us and giving us a chance to come in touch directly with that personality and his teachings so that we can benefit greatly by the knowledge that's coming down. And otherwise, we'll find ourselves bewildered in this world. This is a Kali Yuga. The influences are vast and powerful that are taking us away from this true knowledge. Maya is very strong, the illusory energy. And she's also one of Krishna's servants. And if we allow ourselves to be influenced in that way, then we can become very confused in this world. So Krishna gives us the opportunity to especially through the chanting of the holy name. This is a special benediction for this age, that the chanting of the holy name of Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Rama, Hare Hare, is, as Lord Chaitanya himself says, the life and soul of transcendental knowledge. We're speaking on the basis of transcendental knowledge here. Why is that? Because it polishes the mirror of the heart. All of that static, you see, that is in the consciousness, that's preventing us from seeing ourselves as spiritual beings, that's preventing us from seeing the hand of God in everything and seeing his energies. All of that is very quickly cleansed away, you see, to a large degree. And immediately, we start to have a spiritual perspective. We start to become more receptive to the message that is coming from books like Bhagavad Gita. It's just like tilling the ground. If you plant a seed, you know, if the ground is very hard and dry like cement, it'll never grow. You can plant 100 seeds there. But if you're able to till the ground and make it nice and soft, and you plant a seed, then something will come up. So this chanting is like that. It kind of plows the heart so that when Krishna's message is heard, we're very receptive to it. It makes so much sense. Again, it puts us in touch with that knowledge which is always there but is now covered. So we should take seriously this chanting. It's a great benediction for this age. It's so simple, so easy. There are no hard and fast rules. No one is barred from chanting at any time or any place. It simply takes a little sincerity, a little concentration, and we enjoy so much benefit from that, and we can start our path back to Godhead. So, any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu. Keshava Prabhu. The water. Excuse me, Prabhu? Yes. The thing is, the basic tenets of all religion are the same. There's a supreme God. We are his servants. We have to follow his laws, and that way we can live happily in this world. The problem is that without a detailed knowledge of who God is and how we can learn to know him and serve him, we tend to have difficulty. Because what is it we're trying to do? We have long habituation to trying to enjoy these senses. Right, this is our kind of default position. If you don't do anything in this world, well, you still have to eat. You still have to, you know, you're going to have sex, you know, and all these animal propensities are there. So human society is going on in this way. And we have so we need a religious system. But the tendency is to bring that religion into the service of our lower self. So you have so many religious systems that are trying to increase our pleasure or our happiness in this world, and actually don't have any details, or don't have any a very detailed roadmap, if you will, by which we can purify ourselves of those material desires and keep ourselves on the straight and narrow path back to Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada would say that other religious systems are correct as far as they go, but they're like abridged dictionaries. You know, the abridged dictionary is not wrong. It has the, you know, the words and the definitions and so forth. But it doesn't have the great detail of the unabridged dictionary. Krishna consciousness is like the unabridged dictionary. We need to have a very definite system. And if you go into the Nectar of Devotion, you go into the other books that Srila Prabhupada has given us, which are essential Gaudiya Vaishnava texts, it's very detailed how you can organize your life from the moment you get up to the moment you take rest or go to sleep at night in such a way that you can remain connected with Krishna and you can gradually cultivate your Krishna consciousness. Doesn't mean that you don't have to necessarily be part of a temple or ashram, or that may help. But in every part of your life, there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it, if you're willing to follow. And the details that you find about the form of God, about what he's doing, his qualities, the relationships, and the details of the means by which we can know, you only find in Vaishnava, and especially the Gaudiya Vaishnava literature. So the Chan Kazi, he eventually surrendered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He realized that everything that he was trying to achieve through his own religion, he would actually achieve through the bhakti process, becoming a Vaishnava. So, yes, but cow killing is definitely out because, you know, the cow is our mother. And ahimsa in general is a principle of Vaishnava behavior. So it's a gross misapplication. You know, this is one of the symptoms of the age. People don't think about it. I mean, I can know from my own experience. I'm not going to pretend I was, you know, born into a Vaishnava family. I grew up for 20 more odd years in just a regular Western family. I didn't think twice about what the implications were of just, you know, eating meat. It was just part of the culture. You know, it's not even, you know, an intellectual problem. Now it's different. I think there's a lot of more vegetarianism in the high schools than when I was there. There was nobody. I don't think there was one person in the high school I grew up in back in early 60s. So this is what Maya does. A total illusion. You're going along just doing what you learn to do, and you're committing gross sins that you'll have to suffer for. It's just like, you know, ignorance is no excuse. Prabhupada gives the example. This morning he's given the example in our lecture. A child doesn't know from anything. Puts his hand into a fire, and burns it. Does the fire say, it's just a child doesn't know, therefore it doesn't burn? No. It's a scientific fact. Similarly, if you're causing great pain to others, even if you don't know you're doing it, there is a price to pay. It's part of the law of karma. It's part of Krishna's law. So this is another example about how knowledge is so important. Like knowledge of the laws of any society. You come from Britain, or you come from Australia, you start driving on the left side of Venice Boulevard here, it's going to cause a big problem. If there is a cop car around, you will get stopped, and you know they'll haul you in. So you have to know. You have to know what the rules are. So part of the rules are is that we don't kill the cow. You know, we don't at all. That's an essential trait, ahimsa, and we don't need to in order to live. And so that's a very important part of our religion. Anyone else have a comment, question? Yes, Prabhu. This is Bhagavad Gita, yes, the song of God.
So what's the reason or who's guilty of not being spread around?
No, the point is that the Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Krishna 5,000 years ago. But as Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita, he spoke the same thing previously, millions of years earlier, right? Imam vivasvate yogam proktavan aham vivasvam adave praham anurikshvakave bravit evam parambara paptam evam rajashayo vidu sakalene hamahata yogo nashta parantapa. That I spoke the same knowledge to the sun god. Sun god spoke it to Vivasvatamana, who spoke it to Ikshvaku, who came down through the human society, through the saintly kings, the Rajarshis, the philosopher kings. But due to the force of time, the knowledge as it is has become lost. So even though the knowledge is given, it can become distorted. And even the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada, why did he write this Bhagavad Gita? I remember when I was first getting interested in the spiritual life in the late 60s, there were many Bhagavad Gitas, and there still are, in English. But none of them, after reading it, did I say, oh, I have to surrender to Krishna. There are all kinds of interpretations of what it meant. You know, oh, it is symbolic, this and that. Oh, you can either do yoga, chapter 6, or you can do karma, chapter 3, or this and that, you see? So the point is that it needs to be given to us by a practitioner, one who has been enlightened by Krishna from within due to love for Krishna and surrender. And so that's the great value of this Bhagavad Gita, is given by Srila Prabhupada, Bhagavad Gita as it is. Now, why it isn't accepted? Well, we're making a great effort through many languages and many years to distribute this knowledge. But as I said, these are like seeds. Many of them fall on cement, but some fall on, you know, receptive hearts. And we find people reading the Bhagavad Gita, and letters, and Suradas can pull them out of his file, you know, of thousands of people who, you know, read the Bhagavad Gita. Oh, basically my search has ended. It's speaking right to me, all my questions. Who am I? Yes. What's the purpose of life? Yes. You know, what's the goal of life? Yes. It's right there. So it's just a question of how we want to take it up. And then we can get the full benefit. Anyone else? Yes, Boo. Oh. Yeah, I don't know if you want to put it as blame. Let's put it as like there's an injunction, there's an impetus, and it's a fact. It's just like sometimes the example is given, just like you have now this SARS epidemic. Great effort is made. Let's contain it. We got to, you know, tremendous effort to get a vaccine going, right? And so many people are, you know, trying like anything because it's a threat. So suppose someone comes up with a vaccine, says, I got it. Now I can make $1 billion. I'm not going to give it to everybody. I'll just dole it out, you know, to those who give me $100,000 or $1 million. No, this is not good. You know, so there's a disease. It's called Bhavaroga. Bhavaroga, the disease of birth and death, which is caused by ignorance. Yes, Prabhupada quoted this verse this morning. He says, This is a verse by Lord Rishabhdev, who is an incarnation of Krishna. Parabhavas means birth and death, defeat, suffering, life after life. Parabhavas tavada bodha jato is born out of abodha. Abodha is the same thing as avidya, ignorance. The suffering is entirely due to ignorance. Now, just that one line. If the suffering is due to ignorance, namely ignorance of who we are and what we should do in order to get liberation and go back to the spiritual world, if the suffering is due to ignorance, then the cure is knowledge, right? Obviously. Transcendental knowledge is the cure. So we have the knowledge. We have experienced it to some degree, but we have faith that we can experience it to more degree. So we have the knowledge. We have the medicine to cure the disease of birth and death. Therefore, we're just like that doctor with the vaccine. We have to give it. And the best thing about it is that the more you give it, the more you get. There's no limit to it. You know, if you vaccine, you have, it's worth so much, you give it to this person doesn't have it. But the fact is that the more that you give Krishna consciousness, the more you yourself get it. This is the transcendental nature of this. Lord Chaitanya explains, when he broke open the storehouse of love of God with his associates and started spreading the Sankirtan movement, there was the flood. And the more it flooded, the more it flooded. It just keeps getting higher and higher. There's no loss. So this knowledge, as Srila Prabhupada showed, he began with no money, no followers, and practically no books. He had just the three books of the Bhagavatam, which was a lot, but transcendentally, but compared to what there is now, it was a drop in the bucket. But through his faith and his preaching, it spread and is still spreading, because this knowledge is so perfect. So yes, we have a responsibility to what does it say? To those to whom much is given, much is required. So we have all been given very much, even though we may not know it yet. And that means that we have a responsibility to taste it, to experience it, to realize it, and to give it to others and for their welfare of the world. And on that note, I thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Okay.